Are you struggling to memorize pieces or practice scales?
Do you find yourself scrolling instead of practicing?
Do you struggle with performance anxiety?
Well, you have come to the right place.
Hi, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angela.
And we are the hosts of the Musician's Toolbox.
On our podcast, we bring musicians from the music industry and we ask them questions about tools that they've used that have made them successful. And we fill up our own toolbox with our own set of skills.
Yes, and on this free, four-part, never-before-seen video series, we will be finding the answers to these questions.
The guests that you'll be hearing will include Mick Wetzel, a musician in the Los Angeles Philharmonic, Lito Hernandez, a multi-instrumentalist who has collaborated with Kanye West and Surfaces, That Viola Kid, a Juilliard alum and social media genius, and many more.
If someone sparks your interest in this video, please check out the full interview. Every Friday in December, we will be going through the steps to be a successful performer. In the first episode, we will be talking about scales. After that, efficient practice. Then strategic memorization. And most importantly, performance preparation.
Merry Christmas.
Make sure you subscribe so you do not miss an episode of this four-part video series. And also, we post on different platforms like YouTube and podcasting platforms and Facebook and Instagram. So follow us there.
Anyway, we hope you enjoy.
Yes, and on to the episode.
How do you have the most efficient practice session?
That's a hard one, and that one changes at different seasons of your life.
I like it.
Yeah, right now as a mother, the only time I have efficient practice sessions is about 5:30 a.m. And that's just because that's the only time that nothing else has clouded my day and my focus and my concentration. So for me personally, I have to practice at the right time of day. That's a big one for me. If I try to practice in the evening, I can practice 2 hours and get in about as much as I can get done in 30 minutes in the morning. And so it's, you know, it just because of where my mind is and where my focus is. Let's see. One of the other things that I really focus on when trying to have a really good session is mini goals. If I have one thing that I need to accomplish in this practice session, that really helps keep my focus. And I find that when I don't have those mini goals, I start performing the whole piece in the session and I start losing, you know, start thinking about other things or picturing myself performing it or, you know, doing things that are not really good honed in practice time. So I really try to do mini goals, whether it's a section, perfecting a section or getting a section at a specific tempo. Sometimes it's memorization goals. Sometimes it's even as interesting as just listening. Like, okay, today in my practice, I need to sit and listen, make a recording of myself and just listen and figure out. Sometimes the goal is to figure out what your next goals need to be. So those are a few things that really help me to have an effective practice session.
I'm a huge believer in this question, how I can have the most efficient practice sessions. I've designed some courses that I teach online, and it has to do with not just practice, but perfect practice. I don't know if you guys are too young to remember Vince Lombardi. Do you know who that is? I'm an old dude. He was the coach. He was the coach of the Green Bay Packers, and he had a dynasty there. They won many, many national titles, and he didn't just believe in practice. He believed in perfect practice. And so I maybe that's a good place to start, is deciding that you're going to raise your standard and that the practice you're going to do is playing things perfectly. So the first thing that I do is I decide that what do I want to accomplish? I set specific goals over the course of whatever time period it would be, whether it's a 6 month preparation or 3 month or even 2 weeks or even 1 week. I set goals, and then what do I want to accomplish? And then I set up buckets of time. How am I going to apportion the time that I'm going to spend on a weekly, daily, an hourly basis. I set goals for those three periods. And then I reverse engineer. And I decide what I can do, and then what I'm challenged to do, what's challenging for me, and then come up with strategies for how to overcome those challenges. And when I do that, that's when I'm the most efficient.
To like maximize efficiency for a practice session, I jot out key goals and I put them on a timeline. And if it's something I'm trying to learn over a long span of time, like let's say like 4 months, then regardless of if I feel like I have it or not, when I hit a certain point in time, like if I have 30 minutes to practice something, once that 30 minutes is up, I move on. And that keeps me filled with joy for what I do, and also keeps me from getting burnt out. And it ensures that I hit every single topic I want to get down.
And you have two different timelines you're talking about. One is the actual practice session, and another is beginning the practice until the performance. Is that right?
It could be performance orientated, or just like I want to assimilate this information in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And for that, like let's say there's a dexterity exercise that I want to get under my finger so that I could just move more freely in like the upper register or lower register of my horn, then that would be something that I'd work over like 4 months probably to get. So that it's not just like, oh, I learned it and I'm moving on, but it's like I've ingrained it into my existence. And now, no matter the passage, like when I get up here, I'll feel at ease.
So for efficiency in practice, something I talk about to anyone that works with me is priming. I feel like it's really helpful to take a minute, or I always joke to say a minute or an hour, before you practice to set your mind, set your space, maybe even set your body. What I mean by that is walk in your practice space, make sure you have everything that you need, set up your mindset in what kind of mental space do you want to be in, you know, to set this intention of being open-minded, being curious, positive. Also set your goals. What are you trying to accomplish? You could even take a few minutes to make a really detailed plan of what you're trying to accomplish and how long, and you know, you can get as grainy as you want in that department. But also I would say, if you have the time, why not also take a few minutes to stretch, do some yoga, and you can even start earlier that day with a meditation, taking a walk outside. I think it really, what happens in our life happens in the practice room as well. So to set out to take some time to prime before practice really helps. And then throughout the practice room, I would say, of course, you want to have some good practice techniques, keeping what I call beginner's mind, staying curious is really helpful. And then you put all of this together, and it's, I find, very helpful in having a super efficient practice.
Well, efficient meaning you use your time well.
Yeah.
So really the best way to make sure that you're making fast progress is to work in small sections slowly and over again. Because if you take 10 minutes of practice time, you might be able to only get through an entire piece once. But if you work in sections, you can do each section 5 or 6 times in the same amount of time. So your progress is going to be faster and more efficient if you take small sections and do them multiple times. But then, of course, you have to go back and play it through so that you bridge the gaps between sections and be able to flow from one section into the other. But, you know, if I have a longer practice period, several hours, then I might, you know, revisit things. You know, once I get through my entire program, I'll go back and say, okay, now that I'm warmed up and my brain is awake and I have a better idea of what I want to do as I approach these pieces, then I might go and revisit different things and approach them in a different way. So it's largely about how well you use your time, because time is precious to all of us, especially in these crazy days.
Understand your goals and really come up with creative solutions to your technical problems, and being willing to really experiment and test each hypothesis like a scientist would, and then write your findings down in a practice journal so you can go back, and if some that problem happens again, you can look in your practice journal and see, like, oh yeah, 3 months ago I was having trouble with my spiccato and it was just because my back was tight. You know, and then you can actually see what's going on, and it's very valuable. So
awesome. Thank you. Do you still keep a practice journal?
I keep an emotional journal. My practice is more centered around, it's less centered around technique these days. I'm trying to focus on improvisation. But I still do make very mental notes when I'm playing Bach of, like, just real troubling things in my technique. And it's just good exercise to just check in, even mentally. I used to write it down, but I'm going to start for content. I'm going to start back up again for content, but right now I'm just trying to enjoy my life.
Yeah,
of course.
Practicing is one of my favorite topics. The most important aspect, I believe, is having goals in mind at every practice session and for every minute of the practice session. Too often, we will just play the piano or our particular instrument. And no harm done, but if we're talking about being efficient, that's never efficient. So I try to have in mind exactly what I'm trying to improve, whether it be something musical or something technical, and I work on that. I always try to work in small units, meaning a page, a half a page, rather than playing straight through something, because that's the way that I can actually have improvement on a section, is if I narrow it down and really have a very direct idea in mind.
So I think efficiency in a practice session comes from having clear goals of what it is that you're going to do. So having purpose in your practice is really important, and knowing what you're trying to accomplish during that time. So
do you use anything visual for that, or is it all in your brain that you kind of go through before you start practicing?
Both. So, like, there's organizing my time is a separate issue, and that's something that I do beforehand. But I think keeping a journal actually really helps with that, a practice journal. And that can help you focus your energy on the areas that you want to focus on. The other thing with practicing, and I think we'll get into this later too, is the need to make sure that you're very clear with what it is you're trying to accomplish in practicing. So
I'm just a little curious. I hear lots of people say, have a practice journal. But what does that look like? I mean, I'm always
sure. No. It can be different for everyone. When I was, like, in my doctorate, and that's when I was mostly keeping a practice journal, and I kind of got turned on to this kind of idea, it really helped me organize things. And so what I found, what I do is each practice session, it's similar to, like, a, you know, like a workout journal, or like where you log what you've done.
Okay.
But then I also will put down, like, my perspective of how things are going in the moment. So, like, at the end of that session, here's how I'm feeling about it, and here's why. And so it's more just, like, what's my perception of what's going on? A lot of times it's like, oh, yeah, I still am missing that shift, you know, or that shift feels really tight. And then sometimes I'll write down, like, maybe I should try this next time, you know. And what it does is, just over time, you start to have a record of what it is you're focusing on, but also maybe where you've put your energy in that practice session. Because a lot of times I think we forget. If we get in a practice session and we start to look at something, there's this habit, and it's really drilled into everybody, is this idea of, like, well, you play it once and then you play it a million times. Exactly right. The idea of the practice journal is, let it serve you. And so, like, I have students, one of the things they do is they get done with the session and they're like, this doesn't make sense. So ask Dr. Miller about fingerings, or I need help with this bow stroke, or I need help with this shift, or I need help with this technique. And it's just a way of organizing
and being honest with yourself of where you are. And if you do it in the moment, you know exactly what you're struggling with.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be good things too. Like sometimes you go, you know what? I nailed that shift and it's not scary anymore. It's not hard anymore. So I think the journal has to be something that serves you, and it can be very different for different people. So
thank you so much for watching, Angela, and I really appreciate it. And we're also super grateful for all these wonderful guests that we've had on the podcast and also on this video series. And once again, if someone said something that was particularly interesting to you, I'll leave the links to their full interviews in the comments or in the description down below, depending on where you're watching this from. So they should be pretty easy for you to find. And we are also looking for some new people to have on the podcast. So if you know someone or you think someone would be interesting to talk to, we would love to hear about them. You can contact us on our social media or on our website, or we have an email, so you can contact us there. And once again, we are so grateful for you, and we hope you have a wonderful holiday season. See you next time.